Almighty and everlasting God, you hate nothing that you have made, and forgive the sins of all those who are penitent. Create and make in us new and contrite hearts, that we, worthily lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, may receive from you, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Friends, we're going to have some reading from the Scriptures. If I can just find them, we will get there. The first reading is from the book of Isaiah, for those of you who want to find it. First reading is from Isaiah 59, starting at the first verse, I do believe I am right. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt, your lips have spoken falsely, and your tongue mutters wicked things. And this is exactly the wrong chapter. Hallelujah. We're going to go to Isaiah 56. I thought, this is a bit miserable. Wonderful. Shall we try again? The Old Testament reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 56. This is what the Lord says: maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the one who does this, the person who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it and keeps their hands from doing any evil. Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let no eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. For this is what the Lord says: to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give to them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The Sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them, beside those already gathered. This is the word of the Lord. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The second reading, please catapult yourself with me to the back of the Bible. We're going to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10. And I'm going to be starting at the 8th verse. It's a bit of a sort of a continued argument that the writer is writing here, but I'm going to flip from 14, I'm going to skip through to verse 19 at this point. First, he said, sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them. Though they were offered in accordance with the law, and he said, here I am, I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since then, since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Now to verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with a full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as we see the day approaching. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And friends, I think we've sat long enough. Would you like to stand with me for the gospel? Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Gospel, according to Matthew, the 21st chapter, starting at the 12th verse. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, and you are making it a den of robbers. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, he replied. Have you never read? From the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise. And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. This is the gospel of Christ. Friends, take a seat. It's lovely to see you all. I'm at that uncomfortable age where I have to put these on to see you, but I can't see anything I've written. So I shall be going like this most of the time. But it is lovely to see you. My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Look around you. We've got skin colors of all variety, people coming from all different nations, Great Britain, South Africa, even New Zealand, which is wonderful. India, all sorts of places. God is interested in inclusion, including his people into a new church. Often we gather, don't we, to get our warm fuzzy from God. We might do a bit of worship, we might sing a hymn, we might know the tune and be happy with it, or not know the tune and be very unhappy with it. The vicar might be off or on that day, the coffee might be good or bad, but then we've sort of done church. But actually, when Jesus is looking at church and when he's looking at the house of faith, he's first of all looking for, are we a people of prayer? And for those of you who are new and haven't been here before, welcome. It's great to see you. But we've just been going through a series on prayer, and we're just finishing it off tonight. And what I'd like to look at tonight is the possibility of becoming a house of prayer. Of course, you remember that great quote from John Wesley: God has bound himself to do nothing save in answer to prayer. Now, just to put that in a different way, God has contracted himself to do nothing unless we pray, and it creates a new contract of action in the heavenly realms. Because God listens to the cry of his people. He inclines himself towards those who incline themselves towards him. I came across this quote as well from John Wesley. And this is actually the extension of the quote I gave you before. Give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I care not a straw whether they be clergymen or laymen. Hallelujah. Such alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven on earth. For God does nothing but an answer to prayer. So we need to ask ourselves, I suppose, this: if God's house is a house of prayer for all nations, and if God has bound himself to answer our prayers, how might we contract ourselves to the activity of establishing the kingdom of heaven on earth through our prayer? Back in 1727, the Moravian community in Hunnut in Saxony committed and commenced a round-the-clock prayer watch that continued non-stop for over 100 years. In 1727. By 1791, 65 years after that commencement of that prayer vigil, the small Moravian community had sent 300 missionaries to the end of the earth. I think there might be a link between the two: prayer and changing the earth for the glory of God. At the beginning, in 1727, around January time, the prayer started. After 4 months, there was a movement of revival among those that prayed. Those that were there said it was like God had made truly the habitation of himself among men. How might we find that numinous presence of God, that glowingness, that knowingness of God? For many of us desire it. I would say, friends, it is becoming a house of prayer. Many of us are very good and faithful prayers, and I thank you and God bless you for that. But a house is built when the bricks start to rub together. And I encourage you, friends, let us build a house of prayer, maybe over Lent. How might we build a house of prayer? Well, just a couple of brief thoughts for us. First of all, being a house of prayer means being committed to binding and loosing. In the book of Isaiah in 56, not 59, said, those who bind themselves to the Lord. That word there is the same word used as an oxen binding itself to a yoke. Well, it doesn't bind itself, doesn't it? The owner binds the yoke to the oxen, and the oxen then is committed to walking the way of another oxen. those who bind themselves to the Lord. There is something, I think, about that commitment of being bound to Jesus that actually means that we start walking his ways, not him, ours. I'm sure that you're not like this, but I have been found every now and then to say, Lord, I'm doing this. Please, will you bless my steps? Bless me, Lord. But actually, I get it the wrong way around. We're called to bind ourselves into the footsteps of Jesus. Now, we're in an environment which is instant everything, as I was saying on Sunday, instant coffee, Instagram, everything. But actually, personal transformation doesn't happen instantly. It happens when we bind ourselves to the Lord. And in the book of Isaiah, what does he say that we're to bind ourselves to do? Well, to serve God, to begin with. To serve him, to love him, to worship him, to keep his word. And as we do that, then the Lord says, then you will receive joy in my house of prayer. So if you're finding that your prayers, or if we're finding that our prayers are feeling perhaps a little bit jaded, have a little refresh at how we're doing at being bound to the Lord. Are we serving him with everything that we've got? Are we worshiping him beyond our comfort zone? Because actually worship within our comfort zone is not worship. It's sort of, yeah, we can have this, Lord. We give everything that we can. Psalm 24 says this, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Those with clean hands and a pure heart. Such is the generation of those who seek your face, O God. This process in Lent, this 40 days, may be a process for you and I to just reorder our lives in a way that isn't ridiculously holier than thou. But actually, Jesus calls us to be holy in him and to reflect that holiness to the world. There's not a great cue or desire to be holy, really. And if I said, stood out, says, just cue up for holiness, most of us would think that's going to be quite a painful process. And actually, I have to say it probably is. Because we look at holiness from this side of our unholiness instead of what we will become through what Christ does in making us holy. We gain access to the throne room of God. What a great place to be. Jesus is the doorway through which we encounter grace and forgiveness, holiness, and joy. And sometimes we look for it everywhere else but there. Jesus said, that which we bind in heaven will be loosed on earth, and that which we loose in heaven will be loosed upon the earth. Did I say that right? No, I didn't. That which we bind in heaven will be bound upon the earth. That which we loose in heaven will be loosed upon the earth. That's what I meant to say, because that's what Jesus said. There is a spiritual dynamic when we pray as the house of prayer in binding the work of the devil. When two or three are gathered, there is a greater power and anointing in God. So even though we think that Lent is a time of personal reflection and getting our lives right before God, actually it's a realignment to the desire of Jesus that his house be a house of prayer. Which means that we pray privately and we pray corporately. Which means that we need to bind ourselves to the Lord. Secondly, becoming a house of prayer means being committed to inclusion. All the people listed in Isaiah 56 who naturally would be excluded, a eunuch, a foreigner, is now chosen to be included and brought within the very temple walls. Their names will be better than sons and daughters. Most of us, unless we've got absolutely fantastic parents, will struggle with our identity in God as a truly chosen son and daughter, acceptable and pleasing in God's sight. But actually, God is about inclusion, about bringing people in, not excluding people. And maybe this might be a point in our lives where we need to look at what it means to include others in our journey. I encourage many of us here in this fellowship to be committed to prayer partnerships and being in a life group. If we want to be transformed, we need to put ourselves in the crucible of other people's gaze and allow people to pray for us. Because we will find the inclusion of God in the inclusion of others. I think lastly, being a house of prayer, I think means praying. I think that it does sound a little bit silly. But being a house of prayer for all nations means all nations praying as one. Jesus got a little bit cross that the people were trading in the temple in Matthew 21. They were trading doves and things for sacrifices in the temple. And he said, you've got it wrong. Because the focus should not be the trading, it should be the relationship. But one thing I found as I was reading this, the interesting thing, the minute that actually the traders left, those that were not included started to come towards Jesus and find that as the house of prayer becomes a house of prayer, so the kingdom of God is released. So the blind and the lame and those with leprosy came and he healed them. Many of us have been struggling with ailments for a long time. Many of us know friends who are sick and ill in body, mind, or spirit and have been carrying the pain of that ourselves for them. I think the secret to the releasing of the kingdom of God upon the earth is for the church to reestablish and reawaken that, like the Moravian prayer movement, to determine themselves to give him no rest until he establishes the kingdom of heaven upon the earth. So to become a house of prayer for all nations means to pray. And friends, I think the challenge for us all is to stand up and get on our knees. To gather together as committed individuals to see God bring his kingdom upon the earth. And I have no doubt that we will see the establishment of the kingdom upon the earth because that is what Jesus said. Hallelujah. Friends, we're going to come into a time where we reflect our lives before God. But first, we're just going to pray. Just a simple little prayer. And then there will be some responses. After I've prayed, I will then lead us into a series of responses that you will see upon the screen behind me. Lord Jesus, we know that you see your house as a house of prayer for all nations. Lord, we commit ourselves, we bind ourselves to you afresh, to serve you and your purposes. Lord, let us see how to welcome others into the house of prayer. And Lord, as the disciples said to you, teach us to pray. in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us now call to mind our lives and our sin, but also the infinite mercy of God. God the Father, have mercy on us. God the Son, have mercy upon us. God the Holy Spirit, have mercy upon us. Holy, blessed, and glorious Trinity, have mercy on us. From all evil and mischief, from pride, vanity, and hypocrisy, from envy, hatred, and malice, and from all evil intent, good Lord, deliver us. From sloth, worldliness, and love of money, from hardness of heart and contempt for your word and your laws, good Lord, deliver us. From sins of body and mind, from the deceits of the world, the flesh, and the devil, good Lord, deliver us. In all times of sorrow, in all times of joy, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment, good Lord, deliver us. By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your birth, childhood, and obedience, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, good Lord, deliver us. By your ministry in word and work, by your mighty acts of power, and by your preaching of the kingdom, good Lord, deliver us. By your agony and trial, by your cross and passion, and by your precious death and burial, good Lord, by your mighty resurrection, by your glorious ascension, and by your sending of the Holy Spirit, good Lord, deliver us. Give us true repentance. Forgive us our sins of negligence and ignorance and our deliberate sins. And grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit to amend our lives according to your holy word. Holy God, holy and strong, holy and immortal, have mercy upon us. Make our hearts clean, O God. Renew a right spirit within us. Father, eternal giver of light and grace, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in what we have thought, in what we have said, through ignorance, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We have wounded your love and marred your image in us. We are sorry and ashamed and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and lead us out from darkness to walk as children of light. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, I invite you to receive these ashes as a sign of the spirit of penitence in which we shall keep the season of Lent. God, our Father, you created us from the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be for us a sign of our penitence and a symbol of our mortality. For it is by your grace alone that we have received eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, what we're going to do is we're going to invite you, if you would like to do so, to come and to kneel at the communion rail. We shall then sign you with a sign of the cross and say, remember that you are dust and to dust you shall return. Turn away from sin and be faithful to Christ, or words of the such like. So you're welcome to come.